Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. It's been a roller coaster, right? I knew that I was going to be talking about this morning, of course, and I was like, how am I doing? And I think a lot of people probably are in that same boat, like, especially because of society, we often say, like, how you doing? Oh, good, fine, how are you, right? So we don't ever actually stop and really answer this truthfully in a lot of ways. So how am I doing? I would say I'm okay. I wouldn't say that I'm great, and I wouldn't say that things are going badly. Days that have sunshine and I get a chance to get out of the house are always better than the days that I'm stuck inside, especially if it's been a few days in a row, right? So I'm very fortunate. I am employed. I am healthy. You know, I've still got my friends, my dogs, all these kind of things, but I will be honest, the last year has been hard and forced me to reevaluate the way that I practice self-care and be more intentional with certain things. And I know we're going to kind of talk about that today. But so very, to wrap all of that up, to answer your question simply, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Could it be better? Sure.
I agree. And I think that that's the reason why, you know, when I say that we're going to talk about the anniversary, the response is immediately, well, why, right? Because there has been a lot of grief. There has been a lot of challenges. There has been a lot of painful situations, you know, in so many different arenas. Health, definitely one of them. I know when we first talked, Julie, at the very beginning of the pandemic, I was getting ready to go on a trip with my friends. That never happened. We're still waiting to reschedule that at some point. There has been a lot of loss. There has been a lot of just things we were not ready and we would have honestly just much rather not have to deal with, right? And so coping with all that, as we have been sitting here in this state for a year, even though there's vaccines, and by the way, I got my first shot Tuesday. I got my first shot of the Moderna vaccine on Tuesday. I felt a little weird yesterday. I did have some symptoms, mild symptoms. I'm doing really, really well today. But now we're at this point exactly where we see this light, right, at the end of the tunnel, where we are seeing more and more restrictions being lifted. And that's creating its own set of emotions and feelings. So maybe that's where we can start this conversation today, Julie, you know, where we have been uncomfortably and pushed into this idea of staying home, staying home, staying home. Well, now there's a vaccine, the numbers are helping us, and it's saying, okay, we can start loosely, you know, and slowly and carefully going back out. And that brings us a whole new set of emotions. When we're in this transition point, right? And you talked about self-care. As we transition, as we move on, as we have our own questions and fears with about the vaccine, about going back out and restrictions being lifted, in this anniversary or in this moment of reflection, how do we continue to cope? And how do we continue to maybe even adjust? Because I know I found myself many days just making excuses not to go out, even though I love going out. I've been so, in a way, comfortable inside and it feels safe inside that going outside, even though they told me I could, I didn't want to. And I don't know if you've experienced that too.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, it's about getting back to the basics and pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Because same thing, right? I mean, I have enough time to get outside for at least 5 or 10 minutes a day, or even walk outside if I want to, you know, if I want to move my body as well. So, you know, but do I every day? No. And why? I can't really tell you. I know better, right? I literally teach on this and I'm still going to not always operate at 100%. And I think that's one of the big messages that I've been kind of listening to and learning over the last year, especially as I've been physically forced to slow down on some areas, that I really need to be more forgiving to myself and give myself more permission to just kind of exist and where I'm at and really be more in tune with when I need to maybe take it easy on a day versus when I need to push myself out of my comfort zone and go at least sit outside. We have some, you know, chairs out in the yard. At least go sit in the yard and, you know, play frisbee or something with my dog from the chair. But really leaning into understanding, when am I in need of rest and when am I in need of being pushed a little bit outside of this comfort zone to do what I know I need to do.
That takes a lot. I mean, we have to just really be mindful of ourselves, right? And sometimes it's difficult to do. There's days where I know I understand exactly what I'm feeling. Well, and there's other days where I'm like, I don't understand you today. What is going on today? So it's just, you know, I think this pandemic, and maybe that's one of those positives. It has pushed us also, you know, not just physically inside, but it has also allowed us and given us this opportunity to look inside ourselves and try to connect with ourselves, because it has been key, like we've talked about in many opportunities with you, to check in with yourself, right? And what does that really mean? And what does that really look like? And at least just plant that idea of really paying attention to ourselves, to our bodies, to our minds. You know, what is it that we're seeing? What is it that we're feeling? What is it that we're experiencing? And how is that affecting us? How is that supporting us towards what we want to do? I know that you have statistics that you want to share with me, Julie. I know you said to me that there were a few numbers that you wanted to bring my way. So I want to open that conversation up. I want us to look at, you know, as we reflect about the year, some of the numbers for the U.S.
Yeah. So thank you. I told Chris I had numbers and I wanted to get her real reaction to them. So I wasn't going to share them ahead of time. So I have some numbers on what anxiety, depression, loneliness, and then substance use. And one of these just came out this week. So we'll start with that one. APA, the American Psychological Association of Maryland, said that nearly one in four Americans have been drinking alcohol to cope with their stress during COVID-19. One in four.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty significant, right?
Wow. You know, it's wow, but at the same time, it's like, that's what we've been seeing, right? We've been seeing that on our social media feeds. We've been seeing that. It's like, and people will say that I've been drinking so much more and you know, it's 9 o'clock, but it's like there, it's 5 o'clock somewhere and I got my drink. And Julie, why are we talking about this? You know, let's backtrack and let's say, well, we don't want to, you know, why are we mentioning these numbers and why is it important that we understand that what they really mean?
So, well, I have some statistics specific to like mental health issues. One of them, of course, is substance use. And the reason I want to be clear, I drink alcohol, I'm over 21. I enjoy it. It is a way to connect with people the way that we have it, you know, ingrained in our society and culture, so that, you know, you get together for a barbecue, of course not right now, but you know, you have a drink or something with friends and it's not a big deal. I talk about this a lot with my students because I want to make sure that they know this, because I don't think we talk about it. You should never, and I say this with a grain of salt, of course, but ideally, you should never drink alcohol or use substances as a way to cope with emotions, because it's a very slippery slope into potential disorders, meaning that now you are becoming dependent or addicted to this in order to cope with your emotions. And so that's problematic. And we want to be very careful that we aren't accidentally using, we call them negative coping skills or maladaptive coping mechanisms. And so we don't want to do something that causes harm, which we know that many of these substances can cause harm, right? And I'll freely share, I was over caffeinating. I was drinking so much coffee and energy drinks and stuff to get through the fall semester because I was overdoing it. And I was struggling to be able to stay on top of all the things I needed to. And instead of slowing down and maybe dropping commitments or, you know, saying, I don't have time to do that right now, I was like, I can do it. I'm just going to grab another cup of coffee, right? So this is where we start to enter problematic coping areas. And so when I read the one in four statistic, I was like, oh my gosh. But also, it's not a surprise, like you said, because I looked at my Facebook feed and I was like, oh no, this is not a healthy way to cope. And we want to be really careful that we're not using something to distract or avoid on a regular basis. Every once in a while, distractions or avoidance is a way to cope, but we can't do that as the only way to cope with emotions.
Yeah, and you know, thank you for sharing and for, first of all, recognizing, right? Like I love what you just said. I'm over 21. I have a drink and I'm the same way. My friends know that I'm not the biggest drinker. And it's really funny because somehow in all of our pictures, of our group pictures, the one who's always holding the drink, it's me. And I think it's because I'm always the one that has that one drink with her the entire night. It's just a fixture in my hand. But that's just how it is. Nobody else has a drink and I'm the one who has a drink in the pictures. So, you know, I am over 21. I enjoy, like you said, you know, and it's a way to socialize and to connect. And I will do that, even though I'm not the biggest drinker. But I have seen it. I have seen it where we're normalizing this idea of coping with the stress, of coping with, I had a really busy day. Where's my wine? Right. I had a horrible this. Where is, you know, I mean, the other thing, where's a margarita or this and that and the other, right? Other ones that we see is like, give me a cake, give me an ice cream. So we use food, we use alcohol, we use these coping mechanisms. And I know we've talked about this before, Julie, with you, but I think it's important to just reflect. And if we are going into those situations, right, if we are using these mechanisms that seem harmless, right? They seem harmless, right? What should we be looking for? How do we recognize them? And then what should we do, right? To maybe make healthier choices and what are healthier ways to cope? Because that's what we're all doing, finding ways to cope with all of the stress that we have.
Yeah. Well, I would say if you're listening or, and it's about you, or maybe you're thinking about somebody else at the moment, like you've thought about a friend or a family member and you're like, this sounds like them. So thanks for giving some of those examples. Some of the other things I saw on Facebook were like getting my essential supplies. And then they're like, you know, taking a selfie in front of a liquor store or, you know, with a bunch of wine or, you know, holding beer or something. And so I know it's cutesy. I don't really know how to say this. I know it's kind of cutesy to be like, oh man, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, or this is my mommy juice, or, you know, whatever. Really consider what messages you're sharing when you post things like that. I know it's a downer. I always say I'm probably not very fun at parties. Because I will sit there and think about, you know, what are you really saying when you say, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere? Or what are you really saying when you're saying, I had a really hard day of school with my kids, like online school, and now I need a drink? So you're saying, in order to escape the feelings of whatever's going on, dread, frustration, anger, sadness, feeling overwhelmed, that you are going to choose to alter your consciousness to cope with it. And I want to be clear, again, both Chris and I have drank. We're over 21. I still enjoy wine from time to time, or beer or whatever. But you need to be careful about how you're using these coping skills. And that goes for pretty much everything. We can talk about over-exercising, we can talk about stress eating, we can talk about alcohol, smoking, marijuana, whatever. We can talk about all of these things. And a lot of things, when done to excess, can cause harm. So we just want to be very mindful of the approach into our coping skills. So what am I doing? Am I facing my emotions? Am I processing my feelings? Do I need a little break before I come up to them? Because that's also okay. Sometimes it's just too much. And you're like, all right, bottle that up for an hour. Put that over here. And I'm going to watch Parks and Rec. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to think about what stressed me out that I needed that little bit of an escape. So think about the messaging that you're sending or you're hearing, and think about what you're doing when you're drinking in this case. Building awareness is really the big thing. So like, I'll use myself in the caffeine example. Like I said, my fall semester was pretty rough. I was teaching too many classes and I had too many volunteer things going on and doing schoolwork on top of that. It was just too much. And I didn't have my normal ways, my normal self-care stuff of hanging out with friends and doing all those normal kind of things I like to do. And so I found myself kind of plugging more work in instead of finding a different coping skill or finding a different self-care strategy. So I was up to like 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, or an energy drink and a cup of coffee or a soda or something, or even a couple of times 2 energy drinks a day in order to get through all of the work that I needed to do. And it was like a couple weeks into the fall semester, and I realized I was sleeping terribly. What a surprise. All that caffeine coursing through me, and I'm not sleeping very well. I'm sleeping terribly, which would then reinforce to need more caffeine the next day to be able to like kind of stay awake and function and stuff. And I realized that I was in an unhealthy relationship with caffeine. And so I was like, okay, well, right now is not the time to totally cut myself off of caffeine, because I'm like mid-semester and I have huge due dates for my PhD program coming up, all this kind of stuff. So what I'm going to do is set a limit. So you can have an energy drink or 2 cups of coffee, and you have to drink them by noon, right? So I put in strict rules in order to kind of manage my caffeine and manage what I was doing. For alcohol, they do have set limits, right, that are where we inch over into problematic usage. So I can't remember exactly. I think it's like somewhere in the, I don't want to misspeak, but it's like if you're drinking every day, that would probably be a pretty good sign that you maybe want to slow down. If you're drinking more than like 3 or 4 drinks in a night, that's also like just one time, that's also a good sign. So I think it's technically 4 or 5, 4 for women, and men are 5. They have a higher rate of dehydrogenase, so they can process more. But that's considered like binge drinking or problematic usage if you drink more than that in an evening. And if you're sitting there thinking about it and you make a margarita, if you have more than 2 ounces in there, that's 2 drinks, right? So you want to be very mindful about how you're using alcohol, and then consider your actual usage. So how much am I drinking caffeine or alcohol or whatever? How much am I using on a regular basis? And then the last one that I'll say, I know I've been monologuing, is can I be sad, angry, frustrated? And what's my first response? Where's the alcohol? I need some caffeine. Or can you do something else and not use alcohol, caffeine, whatever? Can you do something else to cope? Or are you struggling? Because if you're struggling, then it might be time to really evaluate how you're using alcohol in your life.
You know, and I want to elevate one more thing that you said, and it's the exercise, because I know some people probably say, but it's exercise, right? It's healthy. Well, let me tell you, not through COVID times, but before pre-COVID times, I was going through some really, really stressful times in my life. And I was using exercise as escape. And when it hit me is this one day that what I was doing is I was going to the gym, I was exercising, but I was really prolonging my stay at the gym as much as I possibly could, because I was really literally trying to escape and just be in this place that was safe and that was healthy, that was good. I wasn't seeing any results. I was working out, but I wasn't seeing results. It actually was causing me pain, and it was actually hurting my back, and it was hurting myself instead of helping myself. But the other thing is, it was also getting in the way of me achieving anything, because I was going into the gym and staying in the gym for long periods of time, and I wasn't dealing with whatever it was at the time that was, you know, that really I should have been just facing and trying to fix, or I figure my way through it, right? I was hiding. I was hiding through exercise. I've done that with walking too. And, you know, where I'm going for a walk, and then I leave early, and then I just walk and walk and walk and walk and walk, and, you know, for many hours. And then by the time I'm too tired, I'm like, okay, now I don't want to walk back home. Right. So it's healthy. Yes. These are healthy habits. These are healthy things. And if you talk to your doctor's going to tell you to exercise and to move and to incorporate that into your routine. But I guess the point, and you know, same goes for drinking, same goes for having your desserts, same goes for, you know, everything that we do is like, yeah, if we're doing it in moderation, if we're have this full awareness and enjoying it and it's healthy for us, that's fine. We can do it. The problem is when we are escaping from things, good things, including exercise, can just turn into a really painful experience, a bad experience. And it takes a little bit of work to really be willing to recognize it because even though I had the awareness that that's what I was doing, I didn't want to say that that's what I was doing. You know, when I was going to the gym, and like, I remember my mom asking me, why are you in the gym so much? Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh no, I just really enjoy working out. I was hiding. I was literally using this building to hide from everything else that was going on. So just take that awareness and know that you're not alone. It happens to all of us, but it can get better. It just need for us to take that first step of recognizing it. And then in my case, I needed to get some help, outside help, and start going to therapy to talk about the issues and figure other ways to cope, because that was the way that I was coping with it. And I didn't see any other ways. So,
yeah. Thank you for sharing. I know it's kind of scary. I even was like, should I talk about my caffeine issue? And, you know, I appreciate always your vulnerability and sharing with everyone, because I think a lot of people, I've been talking to a lot of people over the last couple of months, and they're forming unhealthy relationships with exercise. And when I try to tell them, they're like, what do you mean? Exercise is healthy. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Yeah, but it shouldn't hurt. Like you said, it shouldn't be taking up massive amounts of your day unless it's like your job. You know, if I'm an athlete, that makes more sense. And we need to consider, does it cause like anxiety or stress to miss exercising, to miss drinking, to miss that caffeine, to miss whatever we're using as an unhealthy placeholder? Those are pretty good indicators that we need to take a step back and evaluate our relationship with that coping skill. Yeah.
So give us some more statistics on Julie.
So I have some Gen Z stats, Generation Z. So 65% of Gen Z has said that they have felt very lonely in the last year.
You know, it does not surprise me. It really does not surprise me. It's sad that it's 65%. Wow. 65%. Yeah.
Big numbers.
How do we support all generations? Because I think loneliness has been a thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for all Americans, loneliness has increased 33% altogether. I wanted to call out Gen Z, especially because I know many of them may be listening, but also, you know, we think about high school and college and how many things they've lost in the last year compared to some of us that are a little bit more established, right? In our routines and maybe have figured out some more coping skills and things, or not in my case, right? Like I was like, oh, I was doing pretty good. And then the pandemic hit and I really had to think about coping skills and do like a complete overhaul of what I normally do, because the stuff I normally do wasn't available to me. So I was like, now what? So we think about these teens and they have probably some of them aren't even going to the grocery store. That's like the highlight of my week. Sometimes I'm like, woo, I'm at the store, right? And just considering all of the normal teenage experiences that they might be losing at this time. So for loneliness, I actually just did a whole workshop on loneliness last week. And I really enjoy talking to people to hear what they're doing to stay connected. And I think everybody's in a rut. We're so sick of Zoom. We're so sick of texting. We feel like we don't have anything new to say. We're like, wow, this is what I've been doing. I'm in my box. You're in your box. Okay, cool. There's nothing new to talk about. So you feel like you're not connecting well anymore. Even if you are talking with people, you feel stuck. I know I have too. I'm like, how are you doing? They're like, good. And I'm like, cool.
What else can we talk about? Right, exactly.
Yeah, going places and doing things really added to my stuff to talk about. So I can definitely empathize with people who are also feeling stuck. So something that I want to recommend that I like to do with my friends is ask icebreaker kind of questions or theme what we're going to do. So I've been doing Zoom donut baking, which is really fun. Highly recommend. So my friend in Florida or, you know, in Dundalk or whatever, and I'm in my kitchen. So that's a different square in my house. I'm in a different square. So I'm downstairs in my kitchen and we're just kind of like chatting as we go through the donuts. And it's a good way to connect. So we're not, is our conversation meaningful? No. We're muttering about like, you know, the butter's not soft enough or whatever, but it's fun. It's a good way to connect. So consider theming your Zoom house party, WebEx, Teams, whatever you're using, Skype, I don't know, FaceTime. Consider like having a theme or an agenda. I know that sounds really goofy, but like plan, be intentional about your connection times. The icebreaker questions thing I want to talk about. So there's the 36 questions to fall in love list. And I'm not saying please fall in love with your friends. although why not, right? I mean, we love our friends. So the 36 questions to fall in love are an intimacy builder, and they mean emotional intimacy. So like, I feel closer to you, you're being vulnerable, I'm being vulnerable, and we're learning new things about each other. There's some really fun questions. There's 36 of them, of course, and they found that it increases the emotional intimacy between two people. So I would highly recommend you just Google 36 questions to fall in love, and don't ask them all in one night, of course, but you can use that as like a prompt for what you want to do. So like, some of them are like real heavy hitting. What's the worst memory of your life, right? And you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to just start with that, probably. I think one of them is, what's like your perfect Saturday? So, you know, I like that one because my answer changes depending on what's going on. And I enjoy asking people that too, because it's like a fun question. It's a good way to get that intimacy, that connection. It's more than like, how you doing? What's your favorite color? What superpower would you have? I'm really sick of that question, just so you know. I've been asked that like 10, 12 times in the last year. What would your superpower be? Find a different question. I don't want to answer this anymore.
Power to get rid of coronavirus. That would be the superpower we all want right now.
Yeah. That's nice of you. Most recently, mine has changed to magical cleaning abilities. Like if I could just point at something and it would get clean, that would... It used to be like I would teleport or I would fly, or now I'm like, I just want stuff to clean up after itself. That'd be great. I'm so sick of cleaning my house. It's just me. I mean, the dogs and, you know, my boyfriend, but man, our house gets dirty really fast. And it's annoying when you're in it all day. Before you're like, oh, well, I only see it a couple hours a day, whatever. But now every time I walk through my house, I'm like, I'm over it. Do yourself dishes. I don't want to do them.
No, and it's, I think we can all relate, and we can all, you know, and then when you have teenagers, it gets to the next level. But, you know, I do want to go back to that idea of our teenagers, because I have to at home, and it's, you know, they adapted. We told them they needed to stay home. They did. We needed to do school online. They did. And I think a lot of parents, we felt that once they went back to school in person, that was it, right? That was going to fix all of the problems. When I do want to caution parents out there, or just maybe bring awareness to parents out there, that the experience of going back to school when you're still connected to your computer, when you're still distancing from your friends, is not the same. The first day my son went back to school, he's more social than my daughter. And when he came back from school, I thought I was going to see this excitement and this, you know, just a very different picture than what I saw. And when I asked him how his day was, he just said it sucked. And I was really surprised. I was really, really surprised, because I was like, well, you got to be with your friends and you were back in the building. And I really had this expectation of it just feeding his soul like it had been before. And it didn't have the same effect that it did before, because there's restrictions, you know, it's still restricted. There's still limitations. There's still all of these things. So is it good? Yes. I personally am on the group that believes in our kids going back to school. And I support that. I know that there are parents who are not there yet, and that's okay too. But if you're like me and you were naive and thinking that once our children were going to go back into that building, it was going to be the same, it is not. And so talk to your kids, talk to your teenagers, because there's a lot of big feelings. There's a lot of big emotions that they're going through. And it's just like we're checking in with ourselves as a parent. It's really, really important that we check in with them and we ask how they're doing, because there's a lot of experiences that they're just simply missing out on. I know you're not a parent, Julie, but I know you're a teacher. You know, when you're talking with the students and when you're seeing that, what are good strategies? What are maybe, I love the questions, but I don't think I can go and ask those questions to all teenagers out there, maybe with my kids, but some questions, some things that maybe we should be asking our youth just to check in and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. So with my students, and I would say for parents or anybody with kids in their life, just knowing that they have a safe adult to talk to that won't judge them for their feelings is really, really big. So I make sure that I'm always very clear about, if you need to talk for a little bit, I'm here. If you need help connecting to resources, I'm here. If you have questions about class, like, I'm here. If you want to ask a question about something not related to class, like, I'm here. And just kind of always staying in contact as the adults in the relationship. It's on us to make sure we're being there, even if we're getting a little bit of the, like, you know, go away, or, you know, I don't want to talk right now. You can say, okay, that's fine, but I'm here when you do want to talk, or, you know, whatever. So not pulling away just because we're maybe getting the angry messages, especially from teenagers and the hormones and all that kind of stuff. It's really important that you are a consistent presence, and that it doesn't turn into, like, conditional kind of presence or conditional kind of love. It's really hard and very triggering. I recognize that, especially if they're yelling at you. It's really hard as an adult to stay chill. You're not a lot.
Because, like, I, you know, it's like seeing the story of my life. It's like, rah, rah. And you're like, breathe, breathe. It's just the hormones. It's just the hormones. So it is difficult. And when you're, you know, when you had that break, you know, when we each were going to our activities, maybe there wasn't as much tension, but we've been home. And I mean, you get tired of seeing the same faces when you go to the living room, dining room, upstairs, downstairs, everywhere you go is the same people, right? And it creates challenges for sure. So what we do is, I, even when they don't want to, I'm like, we're going for a walk. We're all going outside. We're all going to just take a breath. And I know that maybe, and it maybe sounds, you know, difficult to do with teenagers, but I do encourage parents to just bring them out, because they don't recognize it. They will never say, yes, it's good for me. Thank you, mom. Don't roll their eyes, but they will come for that walk, and you'll see a very different person at the end of the walk. So that's one of my strategies here at home. Yeah. And that's one way to connect and to show them that I care, that I love them. And it's, you know, just fine, you know, playing games. I'm horrible with these video games and I don't like them. I've never been a gamer. And I have found myself sometimes just sitting down and playing these games and dying 2 minutes after I grab the control, but that's okay. So just find the ways to connect with our youth. And I love what you said. Just, it's okay. You don't want to talk right now. Just know that I'm here. Just reminding them that we're here. I think it's really, really, really important. Mm-hmm. Any other statistics that you want to share with us, Julie, this morning?
Yeah. So for kids, for teens, et cetera, if you're the adult in the relationship, just remember, well, you know, I'll ask this question for you to reflect on yourself, I suppose, but think if your parents ever talked about how to cope, if they ever modeled coping skills, if they were ever open about their feelings. Mine were not. And I didn't figure this out until I was in my 20s, mid, late 20s or so. And from what I hear from most of my students, I'm going to say 99% of them, this is not a conversation that happens in their house. So kids are people, teens are people. We're trying to raise good people. We raise good people, we treat them like people. Okay. Be mindful of power dynamics. Of course, you're ultimately, you know, the safety voice, right? And of course, you're going to set boundaries. And of course, they need to follow them, or, you know, consequences may happen. But as much as you can give them agency and choice, this will really help them develop their ability to problem solve. You can encourage them to problem solve with you. I love, and I did this all the time when I worked with my clients, the 16 to 25 year old, I would give them a little easy problem from my life and I'd ask their advice. And maybe I've already solved it. Maybe I haven't, whatever. Did I necessarily need their advice? No, because I knew probably what I was going to do. But it was interesting to hear them weigh in, think it through, and it helps develop their problem solving and coping skills. So I really encourage you to bring them in, to partner with them, kind of like you were talking about with the games and the walks and stuff. So bring them into activities you're doing. Tell them why you're going for a walk, not just everybody go for a walk, right? Okay, it seems like we're really stressed out right now. I like to go for a walk when I'm stressed. Let's go together because I think it'll be really helpful. instead of you're going to go for a walk or blah, 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 blah.
I get a question all the time. Why are we walking? I'm like, because of that attitude you just showed me right there. I'm like, fine. You know, it's not, it's not the willingness. It's just that I see the logic behind what you're saying. So I will go with it.
Yes. So I model it, talk about it. Don't be scared to. We all have emotions. We all have feelings. They are okay. We need to make sure that we set them up for success, especially now that they're going through a pandemic, which of course, I mean, we all are, but theoretically, we are a little bit more prepared or more able because we've already figured out problem solving. We have more agency in our lives because we have cars and income and jobs and all that kind of stuff. So we're getting those kind of connections. And, you know, I will tell you as a teacher, as a professor, it makes a huge difference when the kids engage in the lesson on both sides. So when people are asking questions, when their cameras are on, even if they unmute versus typing, or if they're just very active in the chat, this makes a big difference for your professors as well. I have one class that like half the cameras are on and one class that no cameras are on. And I don't require it. There's a lot of reasons why you may not want to have it on, but I'll tell you, I have a lot more fun in the class that has the cameras on, and it's a better class because we're engaging and we're talking and able to kind of share. So consider intentional connection, right? So is it annoying to be on camera all the time? Yeah, I hate it. This is what I do for a living. I'm on camera all the time. If you had asked me this, you know, even 2 years ago, I would have been like, no, I would never do that. Here I am, right? On camera all day long. So I got a little off track there. But modeling, bringing them in, problem solving, et cetera, and be careful that they are intentionally connecting with folks too. So not just texting, although it's a good communication, but that they maybe go to a park and see some friends masked up, whatever. Maybe you encourage them to watch a movie on FaceTime or something with their friend. You know, you both hit go at the same time. And think about the questions you're asking because they're probably sick of the same questions we are. So instead of how was your day, which is an important question, but then elaborate more. So, you know, what's something that really stuck out today? You know, what kind of movie do you think we should watch tonight? And then ask questions about the movie and, you know, try to relate it to your life or, you know, whatever you're doing. I don't, it's so individual for each family, but try to ask more than the the basics, because I'm sure you're probably like, ugh, I got to ask again. They're probably like, ugh, I got to answer again. So finding new ways to connect, finding new kind of questions to chat about would be helpful. Yeah.
Absolutely. Julie, you know, we have about 13 minutes left here in our conversation, and I know that we wanted to cover so much more, but I think one big thing that it's important that we talk about today is loss, because I think that's the one word that defines, and that's the one reason why people are like, I don't want to celebrate the anniversary. I don't think we should be talking about the anniversary. There's nothing to celebrate about this 1 year that we've been dealing with COVID, because we have lost so much. You know, I said earlier, I lost the opportunity to go on a trip with my friends. And I know that in the big scheme of things, that's a tiny thing that can be rescheduled. It's not the end of the world. But it was a big deal for me, right? I was looking forward to that. I had all of these plans and these expectations, and I was arranging schedules, and then I lost that opportunity, right? And then we have, you know, lost a lot of people. We've lost friends, family, jobs, just so much. Talking about our teenagers, prom, you know, for many of them, their yearly, the day trip that they go, senior week, just so many staples that we had access to before were blocked for the past year. Help us navigate that, this idea of loss, and help us navigate, I think, is really the only word that I want to use referring to it.
Yeah. So I want to be clear, we're not celebrating, you know, 1 year in. It's about like a natural pause point because we have lost so much. A lot of people may associate that with March of last year, whatever date that was to you. For me, March 13th, I think, is when the state shut down. And so that's a date that stands out in my head and probably always will, to be honest. I think many people are probably in that same boat, that they are having a very clear memory of the feelings and things that went on. as you said, loss is more than loss of life, which I definitely don't want to take away from. Many of my students have lost family members, are still losing family members. It is so heartbreaking that we are losing so many people. And so grief can be for the way you traditionally think of it, loss of someone. And then, like you said, loss of a trip, loss of opportunities, loss of prom, loss of graduation. Something that a couple of things I really miss. One is just being in the classroom makes a really big difference for me. I really miss standing up in front of a whole bunch of people, chatting with them, hearing the dumb side conversations. I say that lovingly, but like the dumb side conversations that I get to overhear, because it helps you kind of feel connected to the people around you. One of my friends yesterday said she misses just sitting in a coffee shop and listening to everything going on. And she's like, I've been to a coffee shop, but I don't sit there and drink my coffee and I don't like work on my laptop or, you know, do anything. And I'm really missing casual coffee shop conversations. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing to kind of think about. We're the host group in our friend group. So we used to have people over every month for like a massive food related something. And it was great because we never planned anything and people would just be all over our house. And, you know, some are playing board games, some are playing video games, some are watching TV, some are outside. Someone is undoubtedly feeding my dogs a bunch of stuff that they don't need. And, you know, this really changed the way we looked at our house too. So like my house doesn't feel as homely as it used to because we're not filling it with friends. We're not hosting things. I have like two rooms I've barely been in since last year. Last February was the last time we had people over. So like loss is really very individual. It could be loss of a job, loss of people, loss of opportunity, loss of health, loss of freedom, all sorts of things. So grief is a natural response. It is the actual response to a loss. You may have heard of the Kubler-Ross model of grieving, the denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Really common, like Hollywood trope, for good reason. Most people pass through those stages, not necessarily in a nice, cute little straight line, more like a lot of squiggly stuff all over the place, but just knowing that that's part of grief. There's a really beautiful quote on Reddit that talks about how grief is waves. So it starts out and they're like 100 feet tall and they're hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. And then eventually they get a little bit smaller and a little bit more paced out. Maybe you're able to float. Maybe you can get hit with another big wave. But I really like the analogy of waves because we talk about that for emotions as well, where, you know, emotions will smack you in the face like a wave, but you can ride the wave and get through it. Same thing with grief. However, if you have been hit by these 100-foot waves repeatedly, it's very draining, first off. So you need rest and to take care. But if you've been hit with it repeatedly and you haven't found a break and it's been more than a week or two and you haven't seen any difference in how the waves are hitting you, and maybe it's impacting your ability to go to work, go to school, get good sleep, talk to people, whatever, then it might be time to talk to someone, a therapist, a counselor, whoever, really. I mean, grief is interesting because most people can relate in some way, shape, or form that you can often find support lots of different ways. Coping with grief is tricky. So I really like the wave analogy, and this really resonated with a lot of people. This Reddit comment is like famous. It gets linked all the time, anytime anyone talks about grief. So knowing that it's waves, I think helps building that insight. So, okay, it's going to smack me in the face and it's going to hurt. And I might feel really overwhelmed, but I also know that there'll be a moment of peace or calm somewhere in the middle, and then it may happen again, right? And just kind of navigating that journey. To build your coping skills, make sure that you're seeking out healthy coping skills. We talked about a lot of ways that that shows up in a not so great way for people. Avoidance and distraction are okay sometimes, but you can't do it as your only method of coping, okay? A lot of teens I've been talking to are just avoiding, just distracting, just pushing it down. And so I have avoided, I have distracted, and I have pushed stuff down. But I also, you cannot move past grief. You cannot deal with emotions until you deal with them. You have to process them in some way, shape, or form. So if you want to exercise, that's fine. Please do. Exercise is great. Move your body. careful you don't hurt yourself, careful you aren't avoiding things, right? Maybe while you're exercising, you can think through the situation, right? And that will be a way for you to express out your emotions. Stay connected with people. I know it's really hard now, especially when we feel like there's nothing new to talk about, and folks that experience grief often feel disconnected to begin with. So finding folks in similar situations that you can talk to is helpful, and really consider new ways to do things. Like, we have to be able to plan for new fun things. So I bought a state park pass, and we're going to go to, now that the weather is mostly like the first couple of weekends, it was like ice storm after ice storm. I was like, well, great. Thanks, 2021. So now that our weather is normalized, we're planning on visiting state parks. And I know that sounds like such a cheesy thing to do. And honestly, I'm laughing at myself a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, I'm an adult. Let's go to parks. This will be really fun. So I have to have something to look forward to. So we have a map and a list, and we've put it up in our kitchen, and we're going to scratch stuff out as we go. And we're going to see, probably won't get to all of the state parks because some of them are like 4 hours away, but we're going to try to get through a bunch of them this year. So planning things, and they can be little things or big things. On Mondays, I get coffee from Dunkin' Donuts and I get a donut, and it's fun. And now I like Mondays. You know, it's really individual. Maybe on Thursdays, you do Taco Thursday because it sounds like a lot of fun. And now your family has something goofy to look forward to. And add another rule, put the phones away. And we're going to talk only about movies. That's our theme for tonight, right? So you can plan little things or big things, but you can't stay stuck, right? That's the problem that a lot of us are running into, is we feel so stuck. So this is your gentle reminder, like we were talking about, is that sometimes you got to push out of your comfort zone, because if you stay stuck, you're going to stay stuck. Like, only you can pull yourself out of that. So you can get extra help, but you have to make that first step. You need to move forward in that way.
Thank you for helping us understand and this beautiful analogy. I actually had not heard the analogy of grief and the ways, but I think it's very accurate. I've been blessed not to have to deal with the loss of anybody I love through COVID. I've seen COVID in action through many family members, and you know, we were very, very blessed that they got through it. And that process itself was riding waves. There were days where they were fine. There were days where they were not fine. And it was very, very scary. But I have seen close friends lose people, you know, through this pandemic. And I feel, you know, those emotions. I've had those waves, even though I haven't had lost anybody. I have experienced some of those waves. I've been riding some of those waves with some people that I really deeply care about and their processes. As we move forward, Julie, and we take all of this, right? We didn't really have a chance to talk about maybe some of the positives and the lessons that we can take with us. But as we, you know, close this reflection, I think that the word that we can come together on for this show is reflecting on this 1 year. And we take the grief and we take the pain and we take everything we've lost. And also maybe some of the lessons, maybe some of the creativity. We talked about creative ways in which we can, you know, move around our days and start Zooming in more fun ways than just sitting and having those conversations. How do we put this all together as we continue to just move forward and hopefully continue to reopen and going back to what we knew, you know, living life as we knew it?
Well, first I'll say, I know you mentioned you got vaccinated. I got my first vaccine because I'm in the education group. And I'm curious, really, really quickly, did you have an emotional response like right then or later to getting?
I was very nervous. The moment I made my appointment was when I had my emotional response. I was really, really nervous. I started freaking out. My kids started making fun of me. They were like, "You're so nervous. It's so funny." I made my appointment Saturday. I had it on Tuesday. All of those days, I was very emotional. I did do a live show on it to show the process of the clinic. I got the authorization of the health department here in Howard County to do that. And you can kind of see, I think that helped me ground a little bit, but you can see, I mean, it was cold, but I was really cold because I was so nervous. So nervous was most of my reaction. And, you know, now that you ask me that, it's like, I understand it now. That's what was happening. It was that emotional reaction.
Yeah. So I was also nervous. I think I scheduled on like a Tuesday and went in on a Friday, like 2 weeks ago. But afterward, I could not stop smiling. I was so excited. It was like a huge weight had been lifted from my shoulders because we're on the other side now, if that makes sense. So we finally, at long last, a year in, have vaccinations happening for people in all around, right? I mean, I know each county is kind of in a different place right now, but in one or two. And then I have some friends that are fully vaccinated as well. And so I know that fully vax can meet with low risk that aren't vaccinated yet. And so I had a friend over and we were at our fire pit and I was like so excited because we were still outside. We were still 6 feet away, but they were there and we didn't have a mask on. And that was just, it was really exciting to be on the other side of this. So I want to say hope is coming. If you're feeling very stuck or lost, vaccinations are coming. I think they are hoping to have everybody done through the summer. Make sure you sign up and get that going. Cause I'll tell you, for me, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was only one, but I was like, woo, you know, throw a party of one. But you know, I was so excited to get that done because to me it's like, okay, we waited, we did our job. We wore our masks, we washed our hands, we stayed away from people. You know, I haven't seen my grandparents, like all this kind of stuff. And so now finally, we're going to be able to start moving forward in new ways, right? As everybody else gets vaccinated. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, hope is not, because we were kind of on like a low note here. So hope is, it's there.
And if I can say just real quick, you know, one of my favorite pictures to see yesterday was a friend of mine who was sitting at a table with her dad, who she had not seen for a very long time. They're both fully vaccinated. So they were close at the table, no mask. And that was her caption. She was like, having dinner without a mask, in close proximity, please get vaccinated. So yes, I mean, that was so hopeful in that, you know, even though I still have a little bit of a pain here, I was like, it's worth it. It's worth it.
It is. I'm excited they're starting child trials for the vaccines as well. So, you know, hopefully everybody will be up and vaccinated soon. How do we move forward? One step at a time. Really. So as you can get vaccinated, please continue to follow those guidelines. I know that you're probably so sick of hearing about them, but it's important. It's important so that we can all come back together and it's like group work, right? Everybody's got to pull their weight. Practice self-care. Know when you need to push out of your comfort zone versus just kind of sit in it. And it's okay to do both. It really is. And there's days that I need to just chill and do pretty much nothing, you know, lounge around. And then other days that I know that I need to at least go sit outside or at least go for a walk or call a friend or do something a little bit different. So we're 1 year in, but hopefully this is it. We're on the way out. We're trending up, right? So I thank you all. I know that sounds silly, but I thank you all for wearing your masks and staying away from people and doing all of that because, you know, I'm going to be able to see my grandparents soon. And I'm very excited about this coming up. That's been one of the harder losses that we talked about. I normally saw them twice a month and haven't, except for through glass one time. So I'm excited to do this again, you know, maybe in a few months, we can even just say, all right, now we're all vaccinated. How are we feeling? You know, what's going on? So we'll check back in, of course, as we keep going.
For sure. I look forward to that conversation when it's like, okay, we're all vaccinated. And what are you doing today? You know, are you make sure you don't schedule too many things. I think that's what we're going to start overdoing once we have that freedom again in our hands. So like Julie said, I had a lot of questions, a lot of fears, there's all of this thesis information, you know, both ways about the vaccines. At the end of the day, my parents are both fully vaccinated. And I was like, well, if they did it, if they're taking care and they're taking that step, why would I not take that step? Why would I not do my part to protect them and protect everybody else? And then the other thing is I had the opportunity to interview a doctor and she shared with me some of the stories, you know, of some of the people that she saw pass away with COVID. And I was like, well, here I am having the privilege, the opportunity to get vaccinated. Why not? Why am I, you know, letting all of these fears and all of these other things get in the way why not just go ahead and get it? So if you have the opportunity, I did see a post this morning from Howard County Government where phase two, they're asking people to start pre-registering those who are in phase two. So if you're phase one, any of the categories in phase one, and now phase two, you can pre-register to get your vaccine here in Howard County. You do have to be a Howard County resident or work in Howard County for those clinics. But if you fall into any of those categories, please go to the Facebook page for the Howard County Health Department. Pre-register, they will contact you, you will get emails. And then mine was, you know, I pre-registered about 2.5 weeks ago, got my email Friday reminding me that I, you know, telling me to look out for the registration email. Saturday morning, I registered. Tuesday, I was in line getting my vaccine. So I'm halfway vaccinated at this point. I get my second shot on April the 13th. So, you know, we're getting closer. So then Julie and I, since we will both be fully vaccinated, we'll be able to get together, no mask, no distancing, you know, our bubbles just keep growing. And that's what we want. We want all of the world to just open up again. So Julie, thank you so much for sharing this time with me this morning. I know we had so much more that we wanted to cover. So we'll be back another month with another conversation. If you guys are listening and watching and there's something that you feel that you would like for Julie and I to cover and talk about, please send me an email, moviedo@howardcc.edu. You can drop it in the comments. Julie, how can they get in touch with you? Maybe they would just want to come straight at you.
Sure. Yeah. You are welcome to the Facebook page that's tagged in the link, Inquiring Minds LLC. You can also find me on Instagram, Inquiring Minds LLC. There's underscores between the words, or my email, juli@inquiringmindsllc.org.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please share this with your friends, with your family, if you think that this could help somebody. Share this information, share this live Facebook or Facebook Live, this conversation, and be part of it. Be part of it. Have these conversations at home. I am personally going to look those 36 questions to fall in love, to play with my family. I think that that's super cool. I'm always looking for, you know, new questions because, yes, it's the same old questions. It's the same old eye roll. It's like, I already know the answer is an eye roll, is not a word. So let's keep moving forward. Let's keep getting vaccinated as soon as we can. Let's keep pushing through this. Take those good lessons, move forward, taking care of ourselves, taking care of yourselves and everybody else. Julie, thanks again so much. Until next time, I am Cris Oviedo.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.